self-help psychology. Gray matter don't matter much, darling, when it's getting down to you and me. Oh, this ain't no thinking thing. Right brain, left brain, it goes a little deeper than that. It's a chemical, physical, emotional devotion, passion that we can't hold back. There's nothing that we need to analyze. There ain't no rhyme or reason why.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ukraine's President Zelensky arriving for talks with President Trump, marking his third visit to the White House since January. Zelensky asking for more defense weapons, and it comes after President Trump spoke with Russia's leader yesterday, signaling a meeting for both of them in Hungary in the coming weeks. John Bolton, former Trump National Security Advisor, who now draws the ire of President Trump, pleaded not guilty today in a Maryland courtroom to 18 federal counts of retaining and sharing classified information. ABC's Pierre Thomas was in court for Bolton's first appearance.
He said that he had had a chance to review the indictment with his counsel. Again, hearing was over relatively quickly. Bolton now understanding that he faces 18 felony counts, each which carry up to 10 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 per fine. Per count, if convicted.
The government shutdown showing no signs of ending. Lawmakers out of session today. The Senate returns Monday for a vote. This is ABC News. In Pennsylvania, police say a 21-year-old man was arrested in connection with the disappearance of a nursing assistant in Philadelphia, allegedly harassed before she went missing. The search continuing for 23-year-old Kata Scott. ABC's Faith Abube says the suspect, Keon King, has been charged with kidnapping for his involvement in the disappearance.
We need to find Miss Scott, figure out where she is.
Authorities say they believe Scott was last in contact with 21-year-old King, arrested and charged with kidnapping and recklessly endangering another person, and is being held on a $2.5 million bail. Investigators say before Scott disappeared, she told relatives she was being harassed, though it has yet to be determined if the person harassing her was King.
A round of severe storms packed with rain, hail, and possible tornadoes in the forecast this weekend for millions of residents from Texas to parts of Ohio, and a snowpack storm continuing to move across the Rockies. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Whatever your vision for holiday decorating, the Home Depot has what you need to bring it to life. Like our warm white holiday lights with steady lit technology, so your lights stay glowing even if one bulb fails. Whether you're going for a soft warm glow or a colorful display of holiday cheer, choose from our wide variety of holiday lights starting at $5 in store only. Find everything you need to get your holidays started with the Home Depot.
Hi, I'm Chef Franklin Becker. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. There's only one FDA-approved Ozempic made by Novo Nordisk. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit Ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Wisconsin is again ending the budget year with more money than it expected.
The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says the state government will end the year with a general fund surplus of over $4.5 billion, about $270 million more than expected. The state brought in over $22 billion in taxes, up about 5% from last year. Governor Tony Evers says he's looking forward to making smart and strategic investments with that surplus. Republican State Representative and Legislative Joint Finance Committee co-chair Mark Bourne says Republicans are responsible for the surplus by refusing to pass Governor Evers' budget proposals. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers wants to move forward with ambitious plans for Wisconsin prisons. The Democratic governor wants Republicans on the State Building Commission to sign off on $15 million set aside by the legislature that would allow the Department of Corrections to move ahead with the $535 million plan he introduced as part of his budget in February. Among other things, the plan would close the aging and overcrowded Green Bay Correctional Institution, renovate and repurpose several other facilities, and expand the number of inmates eligible for the Corrections Department's Earned Release Program. The Building Commission meets at the end of October. Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney says he's ready to move on from this week's City Ethics Board decision against him.
Dinney said while he doesn't agree with every conclusion that the four-member board reached, he is very pleased that the city of Wausau can move on from the issue. The ethics investigation into the mayor's handling of a municipal drop box that the city clerk had intended to use to collect absentee ballots started with a complaint filed in January and lasted into October, well past the one-year mark of the action in question, which occurred September of 2024. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Partly sunny throughout the day today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. It will have a 40% chance of a shower or storm. Highs mid-70s. South winds at 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing, lows upper 40s. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, highs upper 60s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas, Mondovi boys football tonight. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45, kickoff at 7 o'clock here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website. This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
By this, but President Trump says he's got a plan to lower beef prices. And the cattle markets, they want nothing to do with it. The government is still shut down. Harvest is progressing. Trump is meeting with Xi. Or is it Putin? Wait, it's both? Man, we've got a lot of ground to cover on this week's free-for-all.
Live from our week-ending confab via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and the Farm CPA, Paul Niefer. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Fork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, could you hear the surprise in my voice when I said, oh, it's both?
Yes, I could hear the surprise. Oh. And perhaps tempered with just a bit of chagrin. Nah, maybe that's not quite the right word. I don't know what to make of it.
It was supposed to just be surprise. Well, so what, surprise. What you've is the extent of my thespian skills.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's as good as it gets. I felt pretty doggone good about my performance there in the open, but evidently it did nothing to move you.
Well, no, those acting lessons are really starting to pay off. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to give you too much because then you feel like, oh, I've arrived. I can stop my acting lessons now and, you know, I'm good to go. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I demand more. I want more.
Is that what it is?
That's what
Welcome
it is.
Welcome to Ag. What in the world is going on? President Trump yesterday afternoon stands in front of God and everyone and says, no, we've got a plan. Yeah, the team's working their magic. We've got a plan to bring down beef prices. Boy, oh boy, the cattle complex, like I said, wanted absolutely nothing to do with that. Feeder cattle have traded limit down. I am not sure if live cattle futures have or not, but if they haven't, $5 plus is probably enough to take out of that live cattle market. We're going to talk about that, what might be included in that plan. We've got the government shut down. We've got, oh boy, the Trump Xi, the Trump Putin, the Trump Middle East conflict. There is so much to talk about for today's show. Glad that we've got Wiesmeyer coming by for the conversation. Of course, Jim from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives. And Paul Niefer will be with us in the next segment to help us kind of jumpstart the conversation and talk about some day-to-day business issues. All right, man, should we go ahead and get started? What you got in the news?
Let's do. The National Weather Service says a developing low-pressure system currently over the Dakotas will continue lifting northeastward through Friday evening, with a lingering frontal boundary situated across the upper Midwest and western Great Lakes region. A new wave of low pressure will likely develop over Wisconsin and into Michigan on Saturday into early Sunday. Showers and thunderstorms will increase in coverage, with the heaviest rainfall expected from central Illinois to northern Indiana, where, get this, 1 to 3 inches of rain could fall. It may lead to some instances of flooding.
Yeah, it is 68 degrees up here in northeast Iowa right now. Sun is shining. The wind is blowing. I don't know if I like that or not, but looks like a chance for rain coming up this weekend.
We're 72 here already, but a little cloudy. We got some rain chances. Oh, some rain chances for later today, in fact, here all in right. KC. In overnight trade, December corn was up 2.5 cents and hit a three-week high. November soybeans up 3.5. December winter wheat futures markets were 2.5 cents higher. The U.S. dollar and crude oil futures were under pressure just ahead of the open. Well, Chip, high premiums on Brazilian cargoes are reportedly discouraging soybean buyers in China, which may mean the country has yet to secure much of its needed soybean supply for December and January. Reuters says that development could prompt the Chinese government to tap state reserves to meet their near-term needs. China recently covered its needs through November, that with hefty buys from Argentina, but still needs at least 8 to 9 million metric tons for December and January.
That means that President Xi thinks he's got 8 to 9 million metric tons of soybean leverage on the U.S. in these trade negotiations. That's what it's all about. I mean, they're holding some stuff back with the idea that, hey, going to dangle that out there and say, listen, we don't have all our coverage yet. We could still get some.
Well, Chip, the marketplace is extra anxious to end the trading week on worries about bad bank loans at two regional U.S. banks, which have also raised concern about credit quality in the U.S. economy and further underscore the fragility of the $28 trillion bull market run in equities. Investors are reportedly concerned they have not identified where the risks lie, but some analysts believe the sell-off could be short-lived and that regional banks remain insulated against potential losses.
Stocks were trading lower this morning on that news, but they've come back and erased those losses.
And from the I'm from the government and I'm here to help file, President Trump said Thursday his administration had struck an agreement to bring down the price of beef for U.S. consumers. Bloomberg says Trump did not provide details on what the federal effort entailed, but conceded that beef was one area where his efforts to fight inflation has not paid enough dividends. And finally, a recent quarterly report from CoBank says that company believes there is a case for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates as many as 5 times by the end of 2026, which would put rates around 3%. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal Sport. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Really interesting story that you had here recently on porkbusiness.com. Working on ways to improve pig livability. I love how that, how you put that. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, the National Pork Board has been working with MetaFarms to be able to do these benchmarking studies that they make available to the whole industry. And so I just want to make sure everybody knows that it's there so that they're able to use that information in a way that could help their farm. But the latest report shows a five-year look back between 2020 and 2024, and it shows that sow mortality for the first time in a while is trending down a little bit. So that's good news for our industry, from a high of 14% in 22 to 0.2% in 24. So, I mean, I think that's good. But a couple things that we need to pay attention to are pre-wean mortality, which was at a five-year high in 24. And the data shows that it was all of the producers, the very best producers that are kind of that top 10%, all the way down to the bottom 10% producers were all experiencing some increases. So that's an important one for us to be thinking about and watching right now. But I think the good news about all that still is that those pigs that made it to weaning went on and performed very well. So we were seeing some improvements in kind of that pig performance. So there's definitely a lot of good things in the report, but also some numbers that we still need to be tracking and watching.
Yeah, absolutely. And once you take a look at the data, And it gives you some targets. It gives you some industry standards from which you can try to shoot for out there. So, yeah, take a look at it. www.porkbusiness.com. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. All right, stay right there. Coming up next, we're going to get this free-for-all started. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Paul Niefer, me, Michelson, here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
If you want bigger yields, you got to start with better soil prep. And Great Plains Vertical Tillage can help you get the most out of every acre. Turbo Chisel leaves your ground level for one-pass tools in the spring. Max Chisel slices and buries residue with Samurai Edge blades. Ultra Chisel handles your toughest post-harvest conditions. And the VT1500 Subsoiler resets those yield-robbing compaction layers deep below the surface. Talk to your local Great Plains dealer or visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Maximum yield starts here.
Yield data is worthless unless it's local yield data from fields like yours, that is. At Champion Seed, we don't tout big national yield averages because that doesn't help you make decisions about your fields. Instead, we match seed to your soil with recommendations rooted in agronomic expertise and data from fields close to home. Our hand-picked seed lineup includes a champion for every field. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I started making supplements for dairy cows in my garage and selling them to local farmers. Now First Choice Dairy Supply distributes products all across the U.S. and in 50 countries around the world. I'm Tucker Silverhorn, president of First Choice Dairy Supply, and I've been a member of Wisconsin Credit Union for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in organic chemistry. I know how to make these products, but I am not a money person. I need a partner with financial expertise, and that's Wisconsin Credit Union. I trust Wisconsin with all my financial matters because they've done such a good job of bringing different solutions to the table, being open and clear with their communication. As a business owner, I wear a lot of hats. One day I might be working on chemistry. One day I might be developing a new product. The next day I might be doing sales. Next day I might be plowing this parking lot. Having Wisconsin Credit Union come down and spend time with me, that's been really valuable for me. I run the science. They help me run the business.
Wisconsin Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
I can count on Wisconsin Credit Union.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Friday morning for the free-for-all. Joining us right now, we've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives Podcast. Hey, Jim, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Pretty good. As you said, I don't think it can get as busy as it was this week.
Yeah, pretty difficult just trying to keep up with, and it wasn't just day-to-day shifts or a change in reporting, in comments from 2 weeks ago to this week. Stuff was changing hour to hour this week, Jim.
Yes, yeah. And you know, Secretary Rollins at USDA, I really like her. She's very articulate, but she's a lot like movies as far as your reels of forthcoming movies. You know, she says what's going to come out and just teasers. And I kind of wish she'd, yeah, I wish she would stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a growing sentiment across agriculture that, you know, if you're going to speak about something, make sure that you've got some details that you can deliver at the time rather than just saying, you know, this is going to happen. Well, how?
Farmers are getting more than anxious, Chip. I know you've heard it as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're upset about a lot of stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, they certainly are. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing good, but I'm a Mariners fan. So like 3 days ago, I was much happier than I am right now. So, otherwise, I'm doing great.
They can't stop hitting homers.
No. Neither team can stop. Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, it's 3-0, right?
It's 2-2.
Oh, it's 2-2.
Yeah, Mariners won the first two games.
Brewers.
Yes. Yeah, and the Brewers are 3-0, yes. So, but
yes.
Mariners are 2-2, so there's still hope. So we'll see.
Yes. Gotcha. Jeez, I knew that. All right. Let's get on to it. Jim, status of the shutdown. What do we know?
They're hardly talking to each other. John Thune, who is majority leader, actually urged the administration, USDA specifically, to free up the commodity loans, marketing MALs, marketing assistant loans. And so there's some heat coming in there because farmers are cash flow bind, and now USDA is basically shut off. So we're seeing pressure there. President Trump has really not gotten involved. He's been busy, as you said, in the lead, talking to Putin, going to talk to Ukrainian president today, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it could be another week or so, Chip. I don't see any progress yet.
Okay. Niefer, as far as day-to-day operations go on some of these operations out there, being able to get a marketing loan on grain and stick it in the bin, put it under loan, that would be very helpful, wouldn't it?
That definitely would be helpful, especially with prices fairly low. Although, you know, this week we're starting to see a little bit of a rally in corn and soybean pricing a little bit on the futures. Somehow that always happens every October when they set the harvest price for crop insurance. But I'm not a conspiracist there, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it would be helpful. Now, I guess I'd ask Jim, does the administration have the authority to do that if the government is shut down? Or, of course, with Trump, I think he can do whatever he wants to do. But do they really have the authority?
They can find the authority. Again, find a lawyer who let them. Usually, I think in the past, they did allow this. So this was an exception that they shut them off, Paul.
Okay, good. So yeah, let's bring it back.
Absolutely.
Plus, I think, you know, the stalemate, so to speak, you know, until November 1st when, you know, you can start signing up for ACA again. You know, as we all know, Congress loves a deadline. So that deadline's really November 1st. So I think maybe we got another week or two of this before they get their act together.
Yeah, there'll be some combination of votes, maybe open the government and then solidify a vote on the Obamacare enhancements. But there's no trust amongst the parties, though.
Well, and you get the media out there saying that the Obamacare premium subsidies have been eliminated. No, next year, the enhanced subsidies, you know, it's the extra subsidies that were passed by Biden administration. That's what's disappearing. You know, I just did a blog post on the fact that there's a study out there now, I think it's a little bit on the liberal side, saying that if these subsidies do expire, the enhanced ones, that maybe 340,000 job losses. I sort of find that hard to believe. I personally think that on the subsidies, they'll probably tweak it where on the higher end, you know, higher income earners are not going to be allowed to have as much of a subsidy, but I think on the lower end, they may maintain that. But again, we need a deadline before they're actually going to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If they do this with the marketing loans, or any of this, they're going to have to bring workers back to the county offices, right, Jim?
Yeah, and they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know this. The volume of communications coming into my emails, into my texts, into me about the topic has increased this week, and some producers that I know lean right are coming back and saying, listen, on some of these cases, I see why the left isn't trusting the right. And from left-leaning producers, I'm getting, well, you know what? I kind of get what the right is talking about. There's crossing over now, guys, happening across the countryside. It's just not happening in D.C.
Yeah, we need the moderates from both parties to get together to work a deal. And that's how it'll eventually end.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. What about the status of trade aid, financial aid, guys? Niefer, what's the latest you've heard on it?
Yeah, I think it's coming. I think they just want to wait for the shutdown to end before they announce it. I think we're still hearing, Jim, aren't we still hearing 10 to 14 billion, something like that?
That's the range you hear, but it'll eventually have to go higher. A combination of administration and congressional.
And hopefully they don't just focus strictly on soybeans. I mean, I'm out here in sorghum country. You know, sorghum has definitely been affected. You know, you talk about some of your permanent crops such as cherries, apples, grapes, or whatever it might be. Those all need to be taken care of too if they're going to do any type of aid.
Absolutely. Cotton, that's the reason why you're down price, to 63 cents or whatever, where you're usually 90 cents if China's in the market.
And
guys, you know, I feel like the industry could do itself a favor here and kind of fine-tune some of the language that it is using when it's talking about the current situation. Because when they say, you know, look at our low prices. Well, prices are higher than what they were a year ago right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Margins. Let's talk margins.
Yeah.
Let's talk, hey, after 3 years of negative margins, we need some help. Hey, with input prices where they're at, we're looking at our deepest red margins. That's the conversation to have, guys. It's not get away from the conversation about price, right?
Yeah. Well, and I don't think we're actually hitting the yields that USDA was talking about either. So I think the farmers that were hoping for much higher yields, what I keep hearing is variability on yields. So I think those that were counting on the yields to help them out, maybe that just isn't there right now either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, guys, the data, not just anecdotal, but the data that we're starting to take a look at is suggesting that corn yield is, national average corn yield is going to be just under what it was a year ago, not above it. And last year was 179.3.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you on my fields in Iowa and Missouri, it's exactly that. And I was down 10 to 15% versus last year.
Okay.
Bid into prices, Chip, now?
I think it's starting, but boy.
With all the reports, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
you know, but
we
it's,
still have it, good demand.
Yeah, yeah, we've still got good demand, but boy, the market is still trading like it's got a burdensome carryover situation that it is going to deal with. Niefer's got to take off, get to some other issues. Hey, Paul, thanks for jumping on here, buddy.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Paul Niefer, Farm CPA. Of course, Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives, coming back for more of the free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and Triticale. Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 2 to 16.54, December down 9 to 16.43, January down 14 to 16.12, February down 12 at 16.24. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moving sharply lower. Even though cash markets are sharply higher, news coming out of Washington that there's the potential of a trade deal between the U.S. and Argentina to allow importation of Argentinian beef into the U.S. to help lower beef prices has traders spooked. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving mostly mixed, lower in the nearby contracts on continued concerns about fundamental demand and some of the spillover weakness from cattle, but higher in deferreds due to the strength in some of the pork cutout values. October live cattle down 367 to 240.27. October feeder cattle down 7.97 to 371.70. December hogs down 17 cents to 82.42. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are higher. Corn higher as the market consolidates past the first level of resistance. Soybeans higher due to the positive comments on upcoming trade talks and also strength in soybean meal. Short covering helping the wheat market today. December corn up 2 to 4.23 and 3 quarters. November beans up 6 and 3 quarters to 10.17 and a half.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Can I get my physical therapy at Amplify Health in Mondovi?
You sure can. Just ask. I'm Jennifer Plates, physical therapist here at Amplify Health in Mondovi. Physical therapy offers patients access to a range of rehabilitation services like treating back and neck pain, general orthopedic conditions, pre- and post-surgery rehab, balance and fall risk assessments, workman's comp, and school sport injuries. Talk to your healthcare provider to schedule your physical therapy appointment locally at Amplify Health by Gunderson in Mondovi.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk, what more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is the free-for-all. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives Podcast with us. Of course, Davis Michelson is here as well, and I'm your host, Chip Florey. Okay, Jim, let's go to what Lane was talking about there. And to ask you for a detail on President Trump's comments about beef prices, and we have a plan to fix beef prices, I know that asking for details would be unfair. But what do you make of it?
Here they go again. If they do, now he met with Argentina's president this week, and so I think I'm hearing Argentina, 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 but they better be careful. One former USDA official emailed me last night, be careful in taking actions, he said, because the law of unintended consequences always reigns true. Markets do adjust, and government actions to intercede in markets often lead to a whole new set of problems.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago when Dick Lang, Reagan, was in, they had the whole herd dairy buyout chip, and they forgot about the impact on hamburger prices as they whittled that dairy herd down. So
it was unbelievable. That is as mad as I have ever seen farmers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think about it at that time, Jim, everybody had 20 or 30 cows. Everybody had them. And it just absolutely pulled the rug out from underneath that calf market. And, hey, calves paid mortgages. Calves were cash flow at that time. And even when the market wasn't all that great, you still got a return from those – from selling those feeder cattle, and they just ruined that market. And there is concern that something like that is going to happen again. Now, if it's Argentina, okay, it's beef imports. I don't even know if we could import enough beef to have a major impact.
On the margins. They're talking about a temporary increase in their beef quota early next year. Kind of front-loading it, Chip, is what I can understand. 20 to 30 1,000 tons. I mean, come on. It'll ease. I think Brazilian beef would be a more viable thing if he would do away with that additional 40% tariffs. That would bring a lot more hamburger in. But they're really talking the margins here, I think. But psychologically, as we're seeing in the marketplace, one cattle producer, again, I talked to last night, he said demand's still robust. No incentives are needed. No additional imports are needed. Cattle producers are finally getting a chance for a robust return, and the decision in this area may be to cut their legs out from under them, let the market sort itself out.
Yep. Well, Jim, go back to very early days of the Trump administration, which I guess technically we might still be in. Wow. But the very early days of the Trump administration, when they were fixing the egg price situation, they came out with a 5-point plan. Well, two of the points did actually have an impact on how the industry would be able to rebuild the flock and rebuild domestic production of eggs. But the rest of it was all about increasing imports and just taking egg prices down before U.S. egg producers had a chance to really benefit from what was out there.
Yeah, and they picked a good time for the 5-point plan to be announced. They had good timing. I think it was luck, but it was good timing. You know, Chip, on that, but. I just think they hopefully they'll be careful on this.
To have a meaningful impact on the feeder cattle market the way that it is right now. Now, I get it. It's emotion. It is psychological pressure. But why is the feeder cattle market reacting to the potential for beef imports? Could they also be talking about, hey, we know that we've got the pests to deal with down in Mexico, but we've got to find a way to start bringing those Mexican cattle into the Texas feed yards.
I've not heard that, but that would be a dicey situation that they would be criticized on. You don't fool around with that. But I haven't heard that, but I understand where you're coming from. Here's a secret that I now know on Trump 2.0 versus Trump 1.0 in America First. America First is now consumers first, not producers. That's what drives Trump, okay? Consumers, not producers. So let that judge what he does, Chip.
Yes, absolutely. I think there is a lot of truth to that, and a growing understanding of that. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave that at that. Jim, this marketing loan thing has got me thinking. If they reopen the FSA offices so that producers can get marketing loans to fill in some cash flow needs, what's to stop them from picking and choosing other things at USDA to implement?
They can.
Could they put NASS back on call and say, listen, you know what? We got to get a crop production report out.
I think that they would have authority to do it, yeah. But right now, the OMB director, Russell Vogt, wants to inflict as much pain that he can to put pressure. But that's not any way to run a country.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they have the freedom to do it. And if they say they don't, I said, find me a lawyer over there down the hall. He'll do it.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody will do it.
But we need data. We need data, not just in agriculture, but in the financial markets.
Well, yeah.
And they're bringing back the CPI you saw on the 24th now. So there you go, right there. That answers your question.
So when is the FOMC meeting?
The end of October.
Yeah. So what?
So they'll have that CPI report, but that's also the reason they're doing it for the retirement, my inflation increase in my checks.
Yeah, the cost of living adjustments on Social Security, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I love it. But the FOMC meeting is October 28, 29. So they want to get that piece of information into the system so that it can be considered at the FOMC meeting, I would think.
Yeah, because now we're torn. The Fed continues to be torn with a weak labor market versus sticky inflation.
Right.
Okay.
Jim, another Trump comment that I'm having to decipher here. What does he mean when he says that the tariffs on imports from China are unsustainable?
It would lead to a major downturn in China, which would trip the world into a recession. He won't say it that way, but that's what he means.
Yeah. Okay.
And China would never admit that publicly, but it would. It's a choke-off point. It can't last.
Right. But I think that's important for everyone to understand that when he said that, it is not because of the stress. And see, now this is where I'm running into the conflicting messages and signals from the Trump administration, because Jim, I think you're exactly right. He is focused on the consumer more than farmers. But
yes.
But when it comes to something like this, he is thinking bigger picture in what it might mean to the global economy rather than the stress that it might put on U.S. consumers with these higher tariffs on Chinese goods.
Yeah, we're seeing some cracks in the tariff policy because of this. It can only go so far, okay? And you're seeing, this is why the Treasury Secretary Bessent, the NEC Director Kevin Hassett, say that the U.S. has more cards relative to China because of our big deficit in trading with China. They need us a lot more than we need them, with the exception of the soybean sector.
Has Jameson Greer, the USTR, has he sounded off on this at all?
He's pretty aggressive. Remember, he was the chief of staff for Lighthizer. Was a key negotiator under phase one. So he's in lockstep. I mean, he does most of the work, by the way. He's kind of a workhorse. I think that he believes in what Trump is doing on the tariff front. But whenever you talk of the additional 100% tariffs on China, which Trump said it's not sustainable, it isn't. But then Trump says, well, that's what it is now. It's just leverage going into Chip, the talks that they will have eventually between Xi Jinping and Trump. But we have a big meeting coming up, what, next week in China?
Yep, the plenary meeting.
It's just leverage. It's just leverage by both sides. And I can't wait until the end of the year where we sort some of this stuff out.
Yeah, it is positioning like I've not seen it before. And, I mean, every time that – and now admittedly, I will say this. President Trump is showing a whole lot of flexibility. I don't know if the markets appreciate it, but he is showing a whole lot of flexibility and quick thinking in how he is responding to the changes in this whole situation out there. So that is definitely impressive. Okay, when we come back, Jim and I and Davis will finish up this week's free-for-all.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, proven G3's three modes of action feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
Joining us now, Brian Arnold, Senior Product Manager, Direct Feed Microbials at United Animal Health. Brian, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, thank you, Chip. Glad to be here.
Glad that you are here. Animal health is right at the top of the priority list for a lot of producers. And when it comes to managing that pig health, it helps to drive profitability. And co-infections are something that we need to pay attention to, isn't it?
Right, yes. We think about, managing pig health and in light of profitability, obviously, animal health is critical. And oftentimes, it's easy to find sick pigs in barns, right? We can go in, we can identify those with good animal husbandry. What gets a little more challenging oftentimes is finding the root cause of some of those health challenges. And oftentimes, I think we look for that one thing that may be causing health challenges or disease outbreaks. And in all reality, I think deep down, we understand a co-infection is likely the cause, where we have multiple pathogens at play and multiple stressors contributing to disease.
What do producers need to do to better understand the causes of these co-infections?
It's a great question. I think it really starts with understanding the big picture. And a big piece of that is good diagnostics. At United Animal Health, we partner with production groups, with health and nutrition teams to utilize our PathConnect surveillance platform. And it's a pathogen surveillance platform. And what that continues to show us is when we go in and we try to work in challenge situations to better understand the clinical picture, oftentimes there's more than one pathogen that are causing issues at the sow farm and even downstream.
Where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, so you can go online and visit unitedanh.com to learn more, and we hope to hear from you.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. That is Brian Arnold, a senior product manager at United Animal Health.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force. Outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
AgriTalk is brought to you by new Proven G3 from Pivot Bio. Proven G3 is bringing corn farmers three game-changing modes of action that feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Lock in and learn more at PivotBio.com.
Welcome back to the free-for-all here on AgriTalk. It is me. It is Jim Wiesmeyer from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives. Davis Michelson is out here as well. Jim, one last thing. On the trade issues with China, has Beijing confirmed that Xi and Trump are going to meet?
You know, I don't think I have the official one, but I would tend to, the China watchers I trust signal that they will meet, but I don't think I have the official word yet. And China doesn't like to say that until it gets pretty close to the actual meeting, Jim.
Right. And one last thing on this. If the meeting happens, which I think it is, they're going to have something.
There's going to be meat on the bone to announce. Yes, we'll have some deliverables, and it could be a purchase of U.S. soybeans. I don't know, but that's a possibility.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I had Greg Dowd, the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation, who is the former ag negotiating chief at the USTR under Trump 1.0, he was on the show early this week, and he basically said, listen, the Trump administration should call it a win if we can get back to phase one and not purchase agreements. He was talking about the non-tariff trade barriers that were agreed to.
Of which there were many.
Absolutely. It was a substantial agreement, even if you take the purchase agreements out. Now, for a farmer in the middle of Iowa, getting back to phase one with the purchase agreements would be a whole lot better.
It would be continuity that they could plan on if they followed through. Now, we have three more years of the Trump administration, so they would follow through at least during his time. But, yeah, without that, Chip, soybeans have a reckoning that they're going to have to deal with for the 2026 and later seasons. And it gives the clear signal to this U.S. government, get going on the sustainable aviation fuel, the SRE reallocations, hopefully 100% reallocated, et cetera, RFS, because you have to build up those domestic utilization if you can only make up about 50% of your lost China market. So that's their goal.
Right. And people, I'm sure, are like, why? Why do we have to do that? Just grow less. Well, that's easy to say until Brazil loses a crop. That's easy to say until the U.S. loses a crop. And, you know, the genetics, the management, it's all way better than what it used to be. Doesn't mean we still can't lose a crop. And we need to maintain some consistency on the production side of things to guard against losing a crop here or there.
And the processing plants that have been built over the last five years, right?
Yeah.
A lot of investment.
Exactly. Okay. Jim, when we talk about the involvement of Argentina in U.S. plans, you've got the U.S. delivering, what is it now, $40 billion in aid to Argentina and
$20
billion talk about
U.S.
on the
government.
Beef side?
Yeah, $20 billion U.S. government support and $20 billion private sector support. And I think that's why they're probably behind the scenes. Help us, Argentina. We help too. And that on the beef side. And then I don't know whether Argentina is going to be, Brooke Rollins said yesterday that she spoke with two interested nations. She didn't detail them. In bringing in U.S. beans for crushing. That's another development we saw this week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wow.
But that could hurt. That could hurt U.S. soybean meal exports.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's see. That gets right back to what Ling said under the Reagan administration, and you know me. You know me. I mean, how many pages in Pro Farmer over 17 years did I write about the unintended consequences of stupid government moves?
Yeah, the only one who really liked that whole herd buyout was my uncle Johnny, who was retiring out of the dairy business the same year that they announced the whole herd buyout. I remember him telling me, "You mean they're going to pay me to liquidate my herd, which I want to do anyway?"
Right. Right. I mean, it's just, yeah, yeah. Okay. The harvest is moving right along. There's some interesting things happening in the cash market out there. Jim, I know that you noted what was happening down at ADM in Decatur.
Yeah, I mean, they're offering free DP. They take ownership of the beans immediately, but they don't have to pay farmers yet. So that saves cash flow. It doesn't run up the, cash price or narrows the basis, but they get to fill their pipeline. I think they're protecting their crush margins on that one. So they're maintaining up. DP allows them to maintain upside exposure, you know. But
Davis,
I know you have your attitudes on this.
Davis, should I repeat my thoughts on DPs?
I don't know if we have time for that, Chip.
I can do it really, really quick. I can do it really, really quick. It is the worst tool in a marketer's toolbox. Period. End of story. You are giving up ownership and use of a commodity. You are satisfying demand, and you're saying, but don't worry about it. We'll set the price later. Now, I understand that there are times where you are completely out of storage options. I get that. And sometimes a DP is the only feasible tool that you've got. Hopefully you've taken care of those priority bushels, and that is not your situation right now. Wiesmeyer, good work, buddy. Have a great weekend, okay?
Yep.
All right, that is Jim Wiesmeyer from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives podcast. Big thank you to Paul Niefer for the Farm CPA report for coming on as well. Come back this afternoon. We are road tripping to the University of Minnesota for a conversation with Ed Husett. We've got Senator Chuck Grassley on Monday morning here on AgriTalk.
They say that good things come in threes. And now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, what hairbrush is that?
This? It's my Tangle Teaser. Total game changer.
Okay, but your hair always looks good. Mine breaks every time I brush it.
Yeah, that was me before this thing. It has this wild two-tiered teeth thing going on. It detangles without yanking.
No tugging, even wet?
Especially wet. I use it straight out of the shower. No knots, no drama. And bonus, it actually feels good.
That's honestly impressive. I just thought all brushes were the same.
They're not. This one was made with hair health in mind. Any type. Fine, curly, coily. It's kind of obsessed with being gentle.
Well, now I'm obsessed. Where did you get it?
Amazon. Here. See? And if you use promo code TANGLE10OFF, you'll save 10%.
Okay, sold.
Told you. Bad hair days don't stand a chance.
Tangle Teaser. Detangling without the drama. Say bye-bye to bad hair days. Find Tangle Teaser on Amazon.com and use promo code TANGLE10OFF to save 10%. That's Tangle Teaser on Amazon.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump holding talks with Ukraine's President Zelensky, the president pushing for Russia to end the war in Ukraine, telling